Take out your candy. We're going to do a little something today. Throughout this series, we're going to partake in these little sweets together before the Word of God. As you guys already know, at least in the rabbinic culture, many folks would dab, the rabbis would dab their finger in a pot of honey and put it on the lip of the students that were studying God's Word so as to ingrained in their mind that God's word is as sweet as honey. Amen. And so we're going to read this psalm together. And right after we read it together, I want you to take the candy. Okay? Here we go. Psalm 119. We're going to read that together, guys. There we go. Are you ready? One, two, three. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Go ahead. Orthopathy. This is our new series, guys, an invitation to the heart of God. We're going to read today's text together, or I'll read it, okay? It is in Romans chapter 8. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The Son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives in him. Let me do that again. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. This is the word of the Lord. Last year, we covered... when we return, we cover books like Ezra. How many of you guys were here for the Ezra series? Yeah. All right. And we covered the Ezra. All of you were here. You know that, right? You guys were like, oh, were we here? You just don't remember the series is what the problem is. We covered Ezra. And in Ezra, we talked about the return of Israel from Babylon, from exile. And we talked a lot about what it means for us to be the church again, the people of God again. And so I would say we covered all things church and worship. And then, if you guys remember, we went into the Lord's Prayer series. You guys remember that series? Okay, all of you should remember the Lord's Prayer series. And I would say when we investigated and examined the Lord's Prayer, we began to realize that the Lord's Prayer is not just something for the individual, but it is a corporate proclamation in alignment to God's mission for the world. And so we realize that the Lord's Prayer is not just the prayer we do over dinner or maybe at night when we sleep, but it is a reminder that God rules through Jesus and that we're part of that mission for the world. So I would say it's more political, it's more social, and it's heavily justice-oriented in its teaching. And so we oriented ourselves around the rule and the reign of God during that time. But now we go to orthopathy. And why are we in what orthopathy means is correct or accurate feelings, okay? Why are we talking about feelings? We're talking about it because in this season, I believe God wants to form you as a human being. It's for spiritual formation. It's for growth in Christ. Yes, there's things we got to do corporately. There's things that we have to pay attention to politically and what's happening in our world through the lens of the Word of God. But there also is a time for intentional growth in the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's why we started off with Romans 8. We're saying in order to grow in Christ, in order to be like Jesus, we have to know Jesus. We have to get to know him. We have to fall in love with him all over again. We have to be inspired by him. And then we have to also know that God the Father, that was his original intent for us as well, that we look more and more like his son. PB, what is spiritual formation? If you'll allow me, I'll quote James Wilhoit in his book, Spiritual Formation, As If the Church Mattered. He defines spiritual formation as the intentional, communal process of growing in our relationship with God and becoming conformed to Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we gather like this together and we delve into the Word of God together, this moment becomes a spiritual formation moment. Many of you guys just got invited to Advance, right, from Pastor Isaac. When you sign up for that Vocational Credo Advance, you are going into a communal process where you're intentionally growing together for the sake of looking more and more like Jesus. I quote this guy because there's a key word there, intentional. Spiritual growth, that growth that you're longing for, that your spirit is longing for, has to be intentional. It doesn't happen by chance. All of us here go to church, obviously, and when we come here, sometimes we're on autopilot. We come in, we know what to do, we sing, we give tithes and offerings, and then we go home. Many times we're in autopilot. We've trained ourselves to know what to do in religious settings. But I want to tell you something. Your heart, your spirit is longing to grow up in Christ. It's longing for it. Some of you are seeking for that, to quench that thirst through other things. And some of you guys think it's a problem. Maybe I'm dysfunctional or mentally dysfunctional, and I just have to get more and more counseling and more therapy. And of course, you should, right? Of course you should if you need that. But the answer to your spirit is not more help. It's more holiness. And that holiness is what gives you a sense of wholeness, a sense of satisfaction in life, where you end the day without hunger. You end the day fulfilled in God. And that comes from being more and more like our God, Jesus Christ. So here is the problem. The problem is that most Christians are stunted in their relationship to God and self because they were taught to focus primarily on how to think and maybe how to live like Jesus. But at Echo, we seek not only to examine correct theology or thinking, not only correct living or behavior, but what it means to be fully human like Jesus and how we feel. So if I can show you this chart here, Jesus' life, often in the church, we focus on the words of Jesus or the word of God, and then we talk a lot about the salvation acts of God or the miracles of God or all the things that he's done. But we rarely ever focus on the emotions of God. Did you know that God has emotions? And did you know that that is a major part of formation? If I can show you this other chart, it looks like this orthodoxy has to do with the Word of God or the teachings of Jesus. It has to do with our mind coming in alignment with correct doctrine. We got to think right. And then orthopraxy, and this is why we named our discipleship program Orthopraxis, is because orthopraxy has to do with correct behavior or aligning our actions to look more and more like Jesus. The world should be able to tell by how you live that you are a follower of Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But there's this major part here, orthopathy, that I believe the church has been very silent on. You know, when I was growing up in the church, we were often taught that feelings were bad. Yeah? That we were not allowed to feel things. Instead of teaching us how to feel, we were often taught not to feel. Let me say that again. Instead of being taught how to feel, correct feeling or orthopathy, we were taught not to feel and just obey and just think correctly. But I want to tell you something. The way you think correctly and the way you behave rightly comes from a deep emotional well. When you talk about people that are, you know, inspiring, like athletes or you know, people like Mother Teresa and all these people that inspire us, when we get to know them, it's not just that they had good ideas. And it's not just they had the right disciplines in life. But something was moving them. Especially when you look at athletes, you hear their origin stories and you're like, oh man, this is what happened in your youth and this emotionally moved you. It made an emotional dent in your life. And next thing you know, it begins to impact how they live, how they think. Most of our problems, I believe, come from orthopathy or the lack thereof. We are ruled by incorrect feelings, or should I say, the feelings of our flesh. And instead of looking at Jesus as our roadmap, instead of looking at Jesus as our model, instead of looking at him to be inspired by him so as to align our feelings with him and for him, we are ignorant of his feelings and left to feel things on our own. And we are ruled by them. We are ruled by our feelings. Think about the fights that you had this week. Think about the frustrations you've had. Think about the stress at work. So much of it was amplified, sustained, and then thereby directing your behavior afterwards by your feelings. Hello? So, it goes without saying that orthopathy, or finding how to align our feelings correctly, or what do feelings look like, correct feelings even look like, right? In doing this, we can grow to be more and more like Jesus. Now, before I move on, I do want to say that Jesus' emotions that we're going to study, we're going to go into the book of Mark, okay? And we're going to go through that book, the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to look at all these moments where Mark explicitly talks about Jesus responding emotionally. Did you know that? He actually writes things down like Jesus had pity, or Jesus was annoyed, or Jesus was angry, or he was in agony. There's these emotional descriptions that Mark writes down. And how many guys know they're not written down by happenstance? They're written down. Everything in the Word of God is for us. Can I get an amen? If you're falling asleep, please get more candy. Okay? Yeah? So I do want to say this. Jesus and his emotions that we're going to study in the weeks to come, right, are not just reactions, they're revelations. They're not just reactions, they're revelatory, meaning when he reacts a certain way emotionally, as students of Jesus, we should go, oh, why? Any of you guys have kids old enough to ask questions, right? This is what they do. They'll say, like, we'll hang out, and all of a sudden dad or mom will respond a certain way emotionally. And the child will go, why are you crying, yelling, angry, sad? They're curious because they're trying to find a model. What am I supposed to feel in these moments? Jesus is trying to teach us how to be human when he reacts. So these are revelatory. In seeing Jesus respond emotionally, we go, that is what I should be doing. That is what I should be feeling whenever I'm in that kind of situation. At the same time, I want to be careful that we do not look at Jesus as a divine performer. And what I mean by that is when Jesus is responding to a situation, like for instance, do you guys remember when people are selling stuff at the temple of God and Jesus gets so angry that he makes a whip, right? And then he begins to whip people, whip tables and flips it all around. This was not a divine pedagogical performance. This was not Jesus going like, what a great moment for me to show my disciples and future generations that I do not like this kind of thing. Disciples, get me a whip. I got to do this and write this down. No, these were genuine, authentic responses from human Jesus. Hello? And this is why we can trust it. This is why we can trust it, is because these are authentic, genuine reactions to moments. And we know it's trustworthy because this man, Christ Jesus, had been seeped in the presence of his God, of his Father. So when a moment triggers something, when something comes out of him, we see the good, we see the God, we see how God himself would have responded. Does this make sense to you? This is not a performance, however revelatory it is. My prayer for you is that when we go into this series, you will be so re-inspired by the life and the thought and the feelings of Jesus. How he feels, I want you to enter that. Our world says, God, can you enter my story? Can you enter my situation? And can you deal with my feelings? But the great task and the great invitation of the Gospels is that it begins to pull you, if you let it, into the Jesus story, into the God story, that all of a sudden your story is supposed to look more like his story rather than your story always being coddled and mended by the Lord. So why are we doing this? It's because we want to be transformed. Scripture says in Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. PB, I've been a Christian for so long, but I just don't feel like I'm transforming. I don't feel like I'm growing. I feel the same. And I'm telling you, it's because you are not renewing your mind. What's crazy is in Greek, that word mind within it, innately in it, has the word feeling in it. These are not just be transformed by the transformation of your thoughts. This is be transformed by the renewing of how you feel about things. And the only way to do that is to be close to the Jesus story and follow him and watch him and see how he responds to things. And when we see that happening, we go, oh man, I need to change the way I feel about these things. When I was a little kid, my dad and I didn't do many things together because, as you guys know, as an immigrant, he was always working. But there was one time he took me to a movie, okay? And that movie was called Platoon. Do you guys remember that movie? It's the most intense movie to take a little child, okay? It's the most graphic. It's a group of soldiers going through the Vietnam War. I think it got an Academy, right? It was a really good movie. But since then, I've watched it over and over again as an adult. But as a child, I don't remember the movie because all I remember was there was a scene where this one of the main characters was being shot down by the enemy, and it was so intense. It was so emotional as a little child. I was like, what's going on? Why did they leave him behind? And I look over at my dad, and my dad is crying. And now this is significant because my dad, my whole life, I did not know he had tear ducts. Meaning, like, I've never seen him cry. Never. Never. Not even at his father's funeral. The man is emotionless in that sense. But then we're sitting down, and maybe it's the music, maybe it's the scene of this guy dying, but I'll just say, oh my God, what's going on? This is so inappropriate for a little kid to watch. And then I look over at my dad, and my dad, who never cries, is right? And I'm like, what is going on with my dad? So if you've ever had an immigrant dad like mine, it's awkward. It's awkward because emotions came out, right? Because most of the time, there's no emotions. There's just verbal information being passed, if that, right? So now he's vulnerable and he's awkward. He's just like, don't even look at me kind of thing, right? But I am so curious. So as a little child, I keep going, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Are you crying? Why are you crying? He said, be quiet and watch the movie. We finished the movie, we're in the car, we're driving home, and the whole time, Dad, I swear I saw you crying, right? And then finally he tells me, he goes, Brian, I didn't get to go to the Vietnam War because my platoon, my group, was held back for, I don't know, whatever reason in Korea. But many of my close friends were sent. And most of them never came back. I was like, again, so inappropriate for a little kid to hear, right? So I was just like, what's going on? War is terrible. But over the years, I began to realize, in seeing my dad get emotional about something, I realized that is what he cares about. He is deeply concerned about people or his friends. You see, your emotions reveal what you care about. And if you really want to get to know Jesus, you got to hear him get emotional. Hello? You have to witness him crying. You have to witness him getting angry. You have to witness him getting emotional. Robert C. Roberts, which is a terrible name, by the way. Robert C. Roberts. My parents named him Robert Roberts. Robert C. Roberts, author of Spiritual Emotions, A Psychology of Christian Virtue, said, so an emotion is a way of seeing things when this seeing is grounded in a concern, and a concern is a disposition to have a range of emotions. You see, transformation by the renewal of your mind, which includes feelings, this is what happened. This is how we're transformed. We're not just transformed by going, oh, this is what you care about, but we're transformed by how he sees things. Meaning through the lens of emotions, we catch the perspective of God. Does this make sense? I want to see the world like you do, Lord. He says, come and feel what I feel then. I want to see my friends the way you do. I want to see my workplace the way I do. I want to see whatever, whatever. I want to see the world like you. Give me your eyes. He'll end up giving you his heart. When I was a little boy, or not even, I was a teenager, I guess. I was a teenager by 17. I remember going to a prayer mountain by myself to go pray, to seek God by myself. And I was all just zealous, radical little young guy, you know, really overdoing the whole thing. Like, I'm going to go fast. I barely made a couple hours fasting. I was like, oh my God, my sugar is low. I'm going to die, Lord. You don't want me to die, do you? And so I was like, I was at this prayer mountain, and this is another thing. Like, I went there to pray, like, for days. I ended up praying for, like, 20 minutes, and I was so bored. I was like, oh, Lord, I need to go outside because I'm going to pass out. I'm going to sleep. So I walk outside, you know, having broken my fast. I'm walking around, and there's this huge canopy, this huge tent, and I hear drums, I hear music. So I'm like, I gotta go there because at least something's happening there. So I get over there. I kid you not, I go into the tent, and there's about 500 Native Americans. They were, I think we call them the host people. And there was a gathering of Christian Native Americans, right? And their chiefs that were all Christians. And they gathered to worship the Lord. It was a worship conference or prayer retreat for indigenous people. And I walked in and everybody was dressed in their regalia, right? Their feathers. And they had a huge drum in the middle and they were pounding it. Boom, 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 boom. And all these natives were dancing and worshiping Jesus. They said one word over and over again. I'll never forget. They went, Yahweh, 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 God. They kept saying, Yahweh. And I was like, what's going on? And then something weird happened. Something weird happened. I fell to my knees, and I remember just weeping uncontrollably. And I was like, what is, I mean, have you ever like cried and you're in that emotion deep, but then your mind's still going, right? And I'm like weeping, and the whole time, what is wrong with you? Why are you crying, Brian, right? And then I look up as I'm weeping and I sense God saying to me, I want you to feel what I feel for them. My heart breaks for my people, specifically these people, right? And I remember going, oh my God, what is this feeling that I'm feeling? I literally could feel the agony, the pain, the suffering, almost like a father weeping over their children. Since then, my perspectives on indigenous people have changed. I hope you catch what I'm saying. You see, the transformation you're looking for happens first when you catch God's heart. The only way you get it, though, is if you ask for it. There's a song, right? Remember that song? Break my heart for what breaks. You guys were like, yours? Right? That is a spiritual formation lyric. Think about it. Break my heart for what breaks yours. PB, I don't really care for my neighbors, or I don't really want to witness or share the love of Christ to my coworkers, but I think I should. You'll never do it. You'll never do it until you ask this question. How do you see my coworker? How do you feel about her? Be careful, because God may give you his heart for her. This is why we don't pray this. Because you're like, I'd rather be mad. I'd rather be bothered. I'd rather be frustrated. It feels better, more cathartic, doesn't it? Because you know, if you say, Jesus, how do you see this person? All of a sudden, you're praying even for your enemies. So PB, what are we going to do? Well, here's the plan. This is what we're going to do in this series, okay? We are going to study and immerse ourselves in God's emotions. And we're going to do it through the book of Mark, or the Gospel of Mark. And so if you look here, and many of you saw the journal, the Bible journal outside, we have that. We bought that, okay? We bought enough for every one of you. On your way out, I want you to take this. I want you to buy this. I want you to buy this. I thought about just giving it to you, but if you just get it, you won't treasure it. Okay? And also, it's only $5, okay? We call the publishers and we ask for a discount. I did a very Korean old man thing. I was like, I can't pay full price for this. And so they hooked us up, and so $5, guys. You can't get it this cheap. Now, what's cool about this is it's the entire book of Mark, but on the right side of each page is a journal page. I want you to read the Bible. I want you to touch the Bible. We human beings, they say, touch our phones at least 5,000 times a day. We touch it. If you're like me, when you're driving, you touch it as if it's your child, right? Do you ever do that? It's over here, and you brake too hard, and you go, oh my. You forget your kids in the back. You're like, my phone. We treasure it. We treasure our phones. But our phones are not making us more like Jesus. I want you to touch this, the Word of God. I want you to read the Word of God together. Remember, what is the definition of spiritual formation? It's intentional, but it is also communal. When we read and immerse ourselves in the story of God together, formation begins to happen. Because now we're on the same page. We can talk about it. Hey, remember chapter 2? Man, Jesus was mad. Hey, remember chapter 3? Oh my God, Jesus was so annoyed. By the way, when we study this, the most consistent emotion is annoyance. Jesus gets annoyed a lot. They don't really say annoyed. They say things like, Jesus sighed. It's hilarious, guys. Jesus was fully human. You understand? Man, I thought that was so funny. I forgot what I was saying. But so we're going to read the book of Mark. So on your way out, now, if you don't have $5, talk to me. I'm going to have Ricky buy it for you. Okay? Ricky is a rich pharmacist. He will buy for you. He will buy for you. Okay? Put your name in it. Don't forget it. And every Sunday, I want you to bring that Bible. Because from now on, every Sunday until the end of the series, I'm going to read out of this particular Bible and translation. I'm going to say things like turn to page 12 so that all of us can get there fast rather than go to Mark 5 and most of you are like, oh shoot, where is... You guys remember that when you brought the whole Bible and you guys, and then your neighbor is on the Old Testament? Oh, I don't know. Where's Mark? And then you have to like go over and go, it's in the New Testament. Oh, shoot. There's only one here. Okay? So when I say page 12, we immediately go to page 12. I'm trying to use the screen less during this series. Because I want your eyes to go this way, not that way. Unless I have bomb diggity quotes that I need you to read and be inspired by how much I read. Okay? So that's Sundays, okay? And then the second part of this plan is we're going to study all seven of the basic emotions or feelings. And these are the seven feelings. What's crazy is Jesus, there's records of all of them. Isn't that cool? Compassion, anger, shock, sadness, exasperation. That's the sighing and annoying, by the way. Fear and joy. He felt and responded in all of them. And so we have a great roadmap of how we are now to live and how our feelings are to be adjusted to God. If I can have Deborah come up to play. Where is Deborah? She disappeared. But it's okay. How many guys are excited? Yeah. This is what you'll go over at your home groups, Ecclesia. So bring your Bible. Bring it. Be that person that brings the Bible. And then you have my permission to judge people. Just be like, where's your Bible, dude? I brought my Bible. Okay? We're also going to, you'll see this tonight, we're going to post chapter reading guidelines so that we're all reading together. Now, some of you guys are A-plus students, and you guys are like, I'm going to go ahead. Listen, we all read the story, okay? Calm down. We're going to read it together. We're going to read it together, okay? And then on the journal side, there's no right or wrong way. I want you to just write. I want you to talk to Jesus. I want you to get back in this story. Talk to him. Now you're older. Now you're different. You're in a different phase in your faith. Talk to him from that place now. It's okay. He's not afraid of what you're going to say. But respond to him, to his actions, his words, and his feelings. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, you are our everything. Everything about you, we want to get to know. We don't want to just know your words. We don't want to just know what you did. We want to catch your heart. Transform us by the renewing of our hearts and feelings. Lord, many of us here, we haven't touched your word in a long time, and I pray that it will be so sweet this week. It will wash away cynicism. We can literally feel the washing away of just that numbness that we've carried for years now. And I pray that your word will come alive. Your very words will come alive in us. And we as a church, we go into this new series intentionally and communally. So we ask you right now, come. Come and touch us. Touch our hearts, Lord. We give you permission to renew us. If you want to stay and pray, today's Abide Sunday. So you can stay in your pews if you want and pray. Deborah's going to play. If you want prayer, obviously you can come up and pastors and prayer warriors will pray for you. But let me just bless you now. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you that Echo, despite all the obstacles and hard years we've gone through, I thank you that this church is full of people that at the end of the day has a very tender heart towards you, and that we love to lean towards you and not away from you. We love you so much, God. Come and fill us. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen.